Henry O'Keefe. Henry is, of course, from Hastings. We call him the mayor of Flaxmere, but he is an ambassador, of course, not only for Flaxmere, but for the total area there in Hastings. Very well respected, former councillor of many years, city councillor of many years, and certainly knows about what you can do and how you can love. I know Henry's message will be love them, tell them they're special, and he believes that that will make a difference for some of these young people who have really had a difficult time for most of their lives, for many of them. Kia ora, Henry. Nice to have you joining us this evening on Radio Wātea.
What a pleasure to talk to you again, Merepeka. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Now, how did I know that you would say, I was going to say, kill them with kindness, kill them with love, tell them they're special?
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, as you know, we've fostered over 200 children. We've been in the YJ space for many decades. We've been chewed up and spat out big time. And I've always said there's no such thing as a bad baby. They were not born like that. What has happened in their lives that they walk around the district with a chip the size of Mount Everest on both shoulders? Of course, in the first interim, you've got to go back into the home, don't you? You've got to look at the parenting or non-parenting. You've got to go back into the home.
I think, Henry, it always starts in the home. I think, like most things, particularly the formative years, they're so important. So I was going to say, if the home's not in balance, if the home's out of sync, then it will certainly find its way into the way the children behave.
Oh, totally. You know, absolutely, totally. Parenting, that's the alpha and omega. That's the beginning and the end. That's the absolute foundation of any community. Get the home right and you'll get the community right. And I know there are those out there, and I don't blame them, that want their pound of flesh. When you've been beaten and bashed or you've been subjected to criminal activity, I don't blame people for getting angry, for wanting to lock them up and throw away the key. I don't, and I get that. So all our endeavors, whether it's unpicking and unpacking these poor unfortunate souls, it takes time. It takes time. It does not happen overnight. So we do that because of the victims, for the sake of the victims. We don't want these kids to go back and regurgitate that over and over again. But I do with heartfelt sincerity feel for all victims. And again, if they want their pound of flesh, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But if we could find within ourselves the fortitude, the patience, the tolerance to get to the heart of the matter, I know it works. We've tried it over many, many years. Love, patience, and tolerance does work. You cannot put that into a KPI and output. You cannot legislate that. No government can give you that, Merepeka. No government or council can give you that. And Pam and I have proved it over many, many years. You know, all the years we've been associated with the prison, and I don't want this to be about exaggerating my status, but not one has gone back in. Not one has gone back in. And we're very proud of that. And it's a lot of hard work. It's not a space for the faint-hearted. You get it comes back. You get egg on your face, but you've just got to press on. You know, bad things happen when good people do nothing.
That's very true, Henry. So really, with those 200 children, some of them must have ended up on the wrong side of the tracks later on.
Oh, yeah, I know, totally. Yeah, the problem with that, you know, we live with them. Yes. We had 13 at any one time, including our own children. We live with them. They became deeply embedded in the culture of our family. But the problem with that, Merepeka, was You know, we had them from the cradle to the grave. And the problem with that was when they left us and we would work with their parents, you know, you can't work with the child in isolation. You've got to include the family and extended family. But the problem with that is there was no follow-up.
Yeah.
There was no follow-up through lack of time, through lack of resource, whatever the case may be. There was no follow-up. And that's, and then your work got undone. So
yes.
Pam and I used to work fervently and try and make that change inside, deep down inside, and rip out that little beautiful baby that used to reside there when it came out of its mother's womb.
Do you think, Henry, that are there rotten families? Are there, you know, without hope?
Gee, that's there are some families, I've said this before, and the Lord forgive me, that sometimes I've said, well, Mum, Dad, you had your go. I'm going to turn, I'm going to put you to one side, and I'm going to focus on the children. I'm not giving up on you, but someone with a better resilience than me needs to focus on you. And there have been families where I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, they're just too far gone. They're unsalvageable. And so for that reason, we used to turn to the children.
Mm.
Yeah, I have given up on parents and just focused on the children.
Well, as you say, Henry, the children are not born bad. And so sometimes within a space of 5 or 6 years, you've got this holy terror, this little holy terror that's suddenly appeared on the scene. But it obviously is the environment in which the little one's been growing up, picked up all those behaviours.
Oh, you know, if you teach them, look, we're not one for stats, but if the first 5, 6 years, maybe the first 10 years is absolutely crucial. It's almost irreversible what you teach them. Almost irreversible. That's what we found out through trial and error. You know, you give us that child and we'll bring them into our environment, bring them into our home, work with the parents. The chances of you succeeding are quite high. But you're right, there are those families where, oh my goodness, well, it's going to take a better person than me to turn them around. It's just deeply embedded. You throw in, and I know they're old cliches, I know that. You throw in poverty, you throw in abuse, you throw in alcohol, you mix that all up and you thrust that upon a family, and oh my goodness. It's like pushing the proverbial uphill with a pointed stick.
Henry, would some of those 200 children that you fostered over the years, you and Pam, would some of them have been children from gang whānau, gang families?
Oh, totally. All from a mixed multitude. They came from all sorts of families. Some of them came from what I would deem very good homes. Very good homes. But some of them came from homes that would make Jake the Must look like a pussycat. And that's not an exaggeration or an overstatement. I wonder if the community or the society at large realize some of the environments and conditions these kids have been raised in. I wouldn't raise my dog in there. Mm-hmm. They've been dragged up. They haven't been brought up. And it's all about the love. You know, Pam used to say, you know, we just have to love them. We just have to love them and love them even more and ram it down their throats. You bombard any individual, any family, any child with love on a daily basis, and they will capitulate. They will crumble. They will crumble. They got no choice but to crumble. Mm-hmm. Because you get out of that, you give them a sense of value. You give them a sense of importance. You know, and you just watch this beautiful, beautiful soul just flourish and blossom. And guess what? They want boundaries. They want discipline. They want boundaries. They thrive on that. You know, we've got 13, 14-year-olds running the household up and down the length and breadth of this country. But we need people with that fortitude, with that deeply embedded passion and resilience to marinate in those trenches, and just battle on their behalf. We have to advocate on their behalf. They couldn't sense a fly landing on their nose. And it's an absolute privilege, Metapeka. It's an absolute privilege to be in that space and to see these glorious creatures salvaged and come to fruition. It's addictive. It's intoxicating. It makes you want to go back for more.
So really, Henare, you're saying that we have to go into battle for those children?
Oh, non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you haven't got that fortitude, the patience, the tolerance, go and pick apples, with all due respect to apple pickers. Mm-hmm. And when you place people, whether they're social workers or otherwise, you know, they've got to have that deeply embedded moral and ethical passion to do what's right, And I promise you, if you go in there with that attitude, they will make you proud. They will make you, all that behavior, everything, whether it's up on the roof, whatever, that's a symptom. That is a symptom. We are not dealing with, we're not drilling down, and that takes time. That takes time to unpack and repack. It takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. But we have victims alike, and again, I don't blame them. They want an outcome here, today, yesterday. And if that means locking them up, so be it. But if prison was the answer, and I'm the chairman, I'm the ambassador for the prison here in Hawke's Bay. If prison was the answer, that damn place be empty.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. And because now we've got a former, and I'm sure you do know him, a former top cop, a former top police officer for our country, who is now acting, overseeing all of these children or these youth residential facilities, which I tend to call, children's prisons. Overseeing them. Now, you know, I feel that having been, you know, a police officer and the most senior in this country, being a commissioner, he comes from that discipline where you go after the criminal and you catch them and then you lock them up. And I'd hate to think that that's what we might be seeing now, that we've got a top police officer, you know, overseeing, he's doing a report, he's doing a review, but in the meantime, he's also acting as a deputy for the CEO of Oranga Tamariki. I feel some risks there, actually, Henare.
Yes, look, I don't know him all day. He's probably a nice man. He's a father, he's an uncle, he's a nephew, he's a husband. It's more of the same old. He'll go in there with honourable intentions. I've no doubt about that. But why can't we pluck these people from the community? They're out there. Why can't we suggest the Henare O'Keefe of this world and many others? They're out there that have been there, done that, and they'll go in there. Well, I would go in there with the heart of a father, really. I'm just not quite sold on the old boys' network, I'm afraid. I'm not quite sold on that, to be quite frank.
Well, I also think that when you come from, the police have not been kind in the past to Māori. I mean, they've come with their biases and their, you know, there's been a systemic racism that we've found in the police force over many years. And of course, so they come with their own police culture. And it must be hard, very hard for a retired former police commissioner to bring any other skills other than what he has honed as a top police officer for the country. And it'd be difficult for him to bring any other skills into the job of overseeing the youth prisons than what, you know, because his experience will possibly cloud how he views our young tamariki inside these youth prisons.
Yeah, well, let's hope not, Medipick. I mean, the lock them up and throw away the key mentality, that's like the habits of a lifetime. That's got to go. You've got to go in there. You can't go in there with a premeditated thought. You've got to go in there with a clear slate. That's what it's going to take. And look, as you know, I was the ambassador for the New Zealand Peacekeeping Ourselves Safe program. I know the police iwi liaison officers. I've worked really closely with them over many, many years. They're great. They are good people. But, you know, when you're bombarded with negativity day in and day out, 24/7, by golly, you know, that you've got to have the constitution of a rhinoceros. And same with the prison. You know, as I said, I'm the ambassador of the Hawke's Bay Regional Prison. And there is some good stuff going on in there. There is. I sit in those units all the time. But the problem is when they come out, there's no follow-up. There's no follow-up. You more or less have a captive audience in there, but when they get out, that's when the work gets undone.
Well, look, I mean, you and I know, Henare, that there have been, over the last 20 years, there have been probably that many reports that have been done. If it's not from the Ombudsman, the Waitangi Tribunal, from Child, Youth and Family or Rangatamariki themselves and others, there's just been one report after the other showing highlighting that the current system is failing. The state system, which should be the protection and care of our tamariki when they're taken into state care, has failed their duty of care to the children. So why are we just doing another review, which is obviously what Mike Bush is doing? Why would we do another review without saying and doing looking at some of the recommendations from the other reports, but more importantly, just getting the right people into the right jobs so that we can see a change?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, the system's broken. We know that. We've been researched. We've been, we've had that many reports done over the years, enough to sink the Titanic. And those reports will come back and tell us what we already know. And I'm a total and absolute believer in the right people in the right places. And I'm not talking about, with all due respect, you can go in there with your B-level qualification, your PhD, but that don't mean squat where the rubber meets the road. It don't mean squat. You need a few gray hairs, a few wrinkles. You need to have, you need to have a bit of bacteria under your fingernails when you're going to go. I think we need to cut the fat on the bureaucracy. There's too much emphasis on the bureaucracy and not enough on frontline where the rubber meets the road, in my humble opinion.
So what is, because we've still got, I heard today that we've still got at least 4,000, I think it's just over 4,000 children in state care at present. So, that's a huge amount of children. So if we're not careful, in 4 or 5 years' time, or maybe 6 or 7, when they come out of state care, we've just got the new wave of young criminals. So we have to do something different. And I don't believe that taking children into state care, severing their whakapapa, severing their contact with their whānau, moving them goodness knows where, usually out of the reach of their kin, I don't believe that's going to be helpful at all, Henare. So we do have to, as you say, we've got to do something different.
Well, just look at the stats, the data that tells you that we cannot keep doing the same old, same old. If you're happy with what you're getting, well, just keep doing what you're doing. We've got to be brave. We've got to be courageous. And do what's morally and ethically right, rather than letting politics take precedence. Be brave and be courageous. Go where angels fear to tread. That's what it's going to take. That's exactly what it's going to take. if, you know, we got fathers up and down the length and breadth of this country, but how do we create daddies? It's daddies that we want. Anybody can be a father, anybody, but try being a daddy. That's another kettle of fish. And I know dozens of families that are poor, poverty-stricken, never come to notice of the police. Kids go to school every day, and I'll tell you one thing, one common denominator that they have in common, those families, and you know, this is not rocket science, and you may not, people may not adhere to this, but they go to church. They go to church. The whole family goes to church on the Sunday. They get in that positive environment where it's all about peace and love and joy, and they sing, and then the kids go into the youth groups, and, you know, one thing they do have in common, don't be afraid to embrace the evangelical component. You know, is it time for us to say, mate, geez, we need to get back to church and take a real good look at our moral compass.
Well, those are really, that's, yeah, and you're quite right. I mean, there's something there that makes a difference in the lives of some families. And, of course, if you don't know it, then, of course, and you've never been exposed to it, then you'll never take up that option. But that certainly, you know, it will make a difference in the lives of many families. But still, I do think, Henry, 4,000 children right now today in state care in New Zealand, that's a lot of children. And that must mean that there's a lot of families out there that the state believes are not doing the best job that they could be doing. And so the children are just getting uplifted. And I'd like to think that we could stop that. And I just don't believe, particularly for some of the young children, like there were 37 up there in Whitty, aged between 14 and 17. And, you know, 37 in one facility, doing nothing, bored out of their brains. You know, they didn't go to school. They didn't go to school when they were, you know, didn't go to school when they were, what would you call it, out in the community. And they're certainly not going to probably go to school. Well, they're not going to be learning anything in those facilities, are they?
I know. I mean, you look at those kids, eh? I mean, there's whatever their names are, Rangi, John, Harry. You know, their name is not Harry Corrections Facility. Their name is not Harry New Zealand Police. Their name is not Mary Oranga Tamariki. You know, where did they come from? Who's been made accountable within the household? How are we working with them? How are we reconnecting them? Is it too hard? Is the answer in these institutions? That's why they've separated them. Who has the courage? Who has the passion and the resilience to go into those places and bring this whānau together? Go to the uncles, the aunties. There must be somebody in that family. Look for the leadership within that family. Look for it. The easy way out is just to take them out of there and put them in an institution. That's a cop-out, as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm. Yeah, look, I think you're right, Henry. Thank you so much for talking with us. I think you are right. You know, just uplifting the child is actually, it is an easy way out. And then, of course, then there's no support provided to the whānau so that they can make maybe the necessary changes that they have to make. And as you've just said, there is never any follow-up. So, I mean, if there's no follow-up, no support for the whānau to, you know, to help them, strengthen them, play to their strengths, make sure that they can develop the skills that they need to be good parents, because nobody's born with the recipe book as to how to be a good parent, are they?
No, that's correct. There's no such thing as the perfect parent. If there is, well, I want to meet them. Please introduce me to them.